Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the AILAC Executive Committee monthly conference call on the 25th of September 2013. Today is a Wednesday. The time is 13:06 UTC. Let's start with the roll call and the apologies, please.
Thank you, Olivier. Welcome, everyone, to the AILAC ExCom monthly meeting on Wednesday, 25th of September 2013 at 13 UTC. On the call today, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Tijani Benjema, Evan Leibovich, Alan Greenberg, Nalia Abdul-Rahim, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, and Julie Hammer. We are trying to reach Carlton right now. From staff, we have Heidi Olvish, Sylvia Vivanco, Matt Ashtiani, Natalie Peregrine, and myself, Julia Chavelin. May I please remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Julia. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking, and welcome to everyone. Let's immediately go to agenda item number two, having a look at the 11th of September 2013 ExCom meeting action items. As per usual, we will just go down to the bottom of the page to look at the open action items. And the first one I can see there is Alan Greenberg to complete required documents to allow the new rule of procedure to be put in place. Once that is close to complete, the chair will put out a call for members of the board member selection process committee. That's ongoing at the moment. You must have seen Alan has sent the last I believe it is the last of the documents yesterday.
It's the last of the ones required to put the procedures in place, yes.
Fantastic. So maybe, well, the chair hasn't yet put out a call for the members of the board member selection process committee to go out yet. So let's keep this unchecked so we can check it during our next ExCom call. But that's well in progress. So thank you very much, Alan, for all this incredible amount of work in having all these junk documents in addition to all of the rules of procedure we've had.
Did you really, just call really them junk documents?
Good morning, everybody.
Junked documents. Adjunct.
I like the term junk documents better.
No, adjunct documents. I note there is a big red cross by Cheryl's name, which means she totally disagrees about the work that you've done, or she wants to say something different. So, Cheryl, I hand the floor over to you.
Not that I disagree with what you say. Well, I disagree with one thing. It's very hefty. It's now Cheryl's
Cheryl, I can't hear what you're saying. I don't know about anyone else.
Yeah, she's breaking up.
I think it's going to be better now. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Okay. Is that better?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. A lot better. Apart from Julie Hammer, for some reason, we need to mute her. Okay, here we go. No, Julie's always on mute.
Okay. Something's going on. I can't.
The point I wanted to make, can you hear me or not?
There's some weird interference going on.
Yes.
Julie's machine keeps on, for some reason, I don't know, maybe more than one person are trying to mute her at the moment. It mutes and then unmutes.
Okay.
Okay.
It's almost as if I can hear myself in some other speak. Okay. This is taking much longer than I thought. I am just deeply concerned if you don't get the call started, I'd have thought, by today. You're going to fall way behind on schedule. And certainly you probably need to have both the call for the BNPC and the BCEC going out at the same time.
Okay, that's a good thing. Then, well, Alan, having sent the last details, the last document yesterday, then that clears the road for getting the call out today and getting the ball rolling, basically. I see Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, there is absolutely no reason to delay the call. We didn't do it yesterday because there was some confusion, and I will be putting in writing this morning, and probably if we talk about it once I've had my second cup of coffee, we can talk about it on this call as to what the requirements are for the two committee members. I see no reason to delay it any more than it was already delayed yesterday.
Thank you, Alan. There was a question yesterday as to what the rules were with regards to being on one or the other of the committees or being a candidate, et cetera, et cetera. So there was supposed to be a small, short explanation regarding that.
Olivier, that's what I just said. Maybe my voice is being muffled. I said,
well, you've sent it.
I said I would send a very short document, or we can talk about it later in this meeting after I've had my second coffee, to determine exactly what the words in the qualifications are that we are looking for in terms of restrictions.
Okay.
We can talk about it later this meeting, or you will receive an email shortly. I would actually recommend the former because there may be some questions and issues that we want to resolve.
Okay, then let's just add this to our agenda just at the end of this call. Any other thought on this? No? Okay, moving on. Matters to work with Dave and Nancy Singh and Olivier on the development of an overall workspace for the collection of at-large action items. We've talked about it today. That's in progress. Matt is, and Alan Greenberg are working on cleaning up the various mailing lists. That's in progress as well. And Olivier is to sit with Alan Greenberg as liaison to the metrics working group. That's one thing that I forgot to ask yesterday. Unfortunately, in this set of action items, maybe we can just do this in writing. I think I'll do that in writing. Am I underwater again for everyone? I hear you perfectly well now. Sorry, I mean, one of these...
You're underwater,
under,
but understandable.
Okay. Well, just let me know if it gets any worse. I will do this right after this conference call. I'll send an email out to the metrics working group, and to Jeff Allen should be the liaison. Recently assigned action items... Alan, you still have your hand up?
I'm sorry. I'll put it down as soon as I get back to my computer.
Thank you.
The coffee issue.
And the case of Dr. Inalia regarding the Competition Consumer Trust and Consumer Choice Review Team, CCTRT, call for volunteers. We did get together, and in fact, because this is not a review team anymore, things have changed, so this can be marked as being done. And Heidi is to work with Olivier on the use of the at-large ICANN Academy ad hoc working group workspace and the facilitation skills training workspace. I'm not quite sure we've done very much work on that. Things have somehow sort of moved forward. I know it's Alan's hand is still up, but Evan Leibovich, you have the floor.
Thanks, Olivier. My question has to do with the whole consumer trust metrics issue. I mean, as we discussed on the call yesterday, it had been split from a single group that was through a very formal review process that was based on AOC and so on, and that was split into two groups, one to help implement the metrics right now and the other one to come back and look at it a year after the rollout of the TLDs to see if the metrics were doing their job. Originally, this was done as one review team. Then, for reasons I'm not totally sure and have no idea what the process is, this was split into two different groups. A non-AOC-related team that we discussed yesterday, and the review team, which was now split into only the group that will convene a year after the rollout. I'm really concerned about the opacity in the process of having come to the conclusions either to do this or to not to do this. Or, you know, they put a couple of people through an awful lot of work only to say, oh, by the way, we don't need an SOI anymore. We don't need this anymore. I guess just the it almost seems the callousness with which the rules get redrawn midway through the game are a concern to me. Now, there's two people here that are on the ATRT group. So, I mean, do you have any sense that this is just a cultural thing that people just don't even think about? You know, let's change things and without thinking about, you know, transparency or bottom-up? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. Did you say callousness or carelessness?
Either would apply.
Okay, thanks, Evan. I see Alan still had his hand up.
No, Alan has his hand up again. I'd be glad to talk about this, but only if we go in camera.
Okay, maybe we can...
Can we go in camera here?
Maybe we'll go in camera at the end of this call. Can we do that at the end of this call, please, so we don't need to go in camera and then out of...
I'm just commenting there are things to be said, but I'm not going to say them on the record.
Yeah. No, I think that's it's just going to make things a little bit more complicated if we go in camera. Let's do this for any other business at the end of this call so as to make things a little bit easier and we don't need to restart the recording, et cetera.
Or I could say it directly to Evan later and we don't do it here.
Well, think about it if you do wish to say something. I mean, what I can say to what Evan has just said there is I certainly find it quite incomprehensible that it started out as a review team and then it certainly became not a review team and an implementation team. And I'm not quite sure who's driving at the moment, but it certainly seems to me like carelessness rather than callousness. I don't think that it's something that's done on purpose, but I think that there is certainly an overall sense of carelessness on this, that due care is not being followed, and that errors are being made, and that's basically it. That's my personal point of view on that one. I was certainly surprised that things went from a review team to a non-review team and how things work like this. I'm also particularly surprised that in the review of the meeting strategy working group works on one side, and then a conference call takes place separately from that, which didn't seem to include the members of the meeting strategy working group in which Evan has attended, and then things, proposals suddenly come out of that meeting without, as far as I understand, without the meeting strategy working group people being aware of those proposals. It just seems to be totally careless and just using parallel processes without informing participants and the left hand not knowing what the right hand is doing. And I see here you cannot hear me, so obviously you'll need to come back to me in a second. I see, yeah, Evan has heard somehow. Carlton?
Thank you, Olivier. This is Carlton for the record. I have a difficulty understanding how people who are immersed in policy work and immersed in the process for ICANN seems to be making these same kinds of mistakes in the last little while. The mistake seems to be repeated and they seem to be getting more frequent. And I am not a conspiracy theorist by any stretch of the imagination, but when things like this happen and you don't change the objective, because in nowhere do I see the objectives have changed, it's just the process, it tells me that somebody actually thought about it and decided that we'd use the process this way. And that, to me, has to have some basis in rationality. It just doesn't happen that way. My only trouble is figuring out why they would do it that way, because the objectives have not changed.
your eye is still on the prize. So if you eschew, if you ignore settled process for another way, there is something that's happening that is being put in place. That doesn't make sense to me. So I'm sorry that I have to disagree, that this is not happenstance. I don't believe it.
Yeah, I think we have Cheryl here. I think we haven't got Olivier back. I can only assume he's listening through the Connect room, though. Alan's raised a very important point. He had asked that any intervention that he made, that this was done in camera, but we've all gone down the pathway. I guess once Olivier gets back, we'll clarify whether or not now this matter is, in inverted commas, dealt with, or whether it's going to be opened up again at the end of the meeting in an in-camera discussion. Do we have Olivier back now or not?
I am back. I hope you can hear me better than before.
Yes. I'm hearing you much better, yes, thanks.
Much better. Okay. I understand there was a discussion as to whether we should go in camera now or at the end of the call. If we want to treat this matter now, we can go in camera now.
Well, you've had half your discussion. You've either had your discussion or you haven't, or you're going to.
I think you should. I am suggesting that we go in camera now and deal with it.
Okay. Let's do so then. Let's please stop the recording.
Or just. Oops.
Back on, Olivier.
Thank you, Julia. The recording is back on. The XCOM went and liaisons went in camera to discuss a point which Alan has brought forward, showing his concern about the way that the metrics collection and implementation and the metrics review team, consumer metrics review team, was being handled. The discussion centered around whether this was a conspiracy theory or whether this was actually just mishandling of the way things were progressing, and it looked as though it was more of a case of mishandling the actual running and implementation of these things. The XCOM expressed concern about the mishandling, and so a couple of things will take place. First, there will be an endorsement of at least two of the ALAC delegates that will be in the working group, implementation working group, and those two endorsed delegates will be Carlton Samuels and Evan Leibovich. And also, in addition to this, myself, from the Crépin de Blanc, will be emailing privately the staff in charge of the current operations, as well as the chair of the new GTLD board program committee, expressing our concerns about how things are being sloppily handled at the moment, and asking for things to be done in a rather more careful way, so as to make sure that this process, which is the collection of metrics from the new GTLD program, an AOC-required process, is actually done correctly and is done with due diligence. That's the gist of the discussion, and now I invite everyone to continue. And we are still in the action items, I'm afraid, but I think that we will be going through the rest of the action item rather fast. The last of the newly assigned action items is Heidi to work with Olivier on the use of the at-large ICANN Academy ad hoc working group workspace and the facilitation skills workspace, and that's currently in process. Now, we look at the 27th of August ALAC action items, and these are the action items from last, are we supposed to look at these ones? I thought we were supposed to look at the ones that took place yesterday.
I'm sorry. Sorry, just a moment.
That's very strange.
I definitely need for coffee. I can't even say that because I did this when I should have been wide awake. Sorry, just
the link is incorrect.
Sorry? I see that. I'm sorry. Just one moment.
Of course, by tweaking this, maybe will I magically receive yes. So I've tweaked it, and so it's the 24th of August, the ALAC action items. We have several open action items. Matt Estiani and Alan Greenberg. Do you have this in the chat? Is it in the chat? Yeah,
yes,
they're in the
Matt,
chat now.
Yeah.
Not 24th of August,
okay,
24th of September.
Matt Estiani and Alan Greenberg to work on cleaning up the various mailing list, ongoing. Alan Greenberg to complete required documents to allow the rule of the new ROPs to be put in place. This we've already discussed. Matt Estiani to work with Dave and Olivia on the development of an overall workspace for the collection of at-large AIs. That's ongoing. Olivier to begin speaking to railroad chairs on the LFB certifications. Ongoing. Olivier and Alan are to inform the ALAC when HRT2 documents are ready for a review. And that's ongoing as well, since they are not yet ready to review. And it's just a matter of weeks, isn't it, Alan?
Yes.
Thank you. So in the next newly assigned action items, Heidi to move forward with the appointment of the .mobile liaison, as now we have a response from affiliates. I did mention this yesterday on the call. Heidi, how are we moving forward on this? Call for candidates, statement of interest, teleconference call.
Yes, I will. This is Heidi. I will get to that today or tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. Matt is to begin the vote on the consultation on CCTLD delegation and redelegation user instructions and source of policy and procedures as soon as possible. That, I believe, is starting today. Yeah, as soon as there just needs to be a little, final toilette or sort of closing comment on the statement itself. Cheryl, I know you worked on it and you cleaned it up.
Thank you. It's Cheryl for the record. As it says even on the wiki, the normal preamble and the normal ending that goes on every ALAC statement is the only thing that needs to be added, and there is no reason, as I said in the ALAC meeting last night, in my view, why the ALAC cannot simply vote on the content which is on the wiki. So I don't see, if staff can attach the standard preamble and wrap-up text, great, but that shouldn't hold up the process.
Thank you, Cheryl. By preamble, I gather you mean staff intro?
Yeah. The usual crap at the beginning and the end.
But end text, I don't quite know. There's never any, quoting you, crap at the end of the text, is there?
This is done, started at, in response to, blah, blah, blah. All of that's there. It's the raw... there is a set of courtesies that is always done. And I didn't rewrite those because it was a very short order set of drafting.
Okay, we'll follow up after this call. I usually think we end our statements sometimes very abruptly, but it's just to the point. We'll see what we can have at the end. Okay, let's move forward with this. Let's go on with the next set. Let's have a look. I'm on the right line. Alan is to provide an explanation on the membership requirements and any other additional details as necessary for the members of the DMSPC. That's, as we discussed it earlier, that's coming up as well. And then we'll launch the call for DMSPC and DTC members as well. And that's something we can do today. Alan?
Yes, I said later in the meeting we could do this.
Excellent. Olivier, to follow up with Fadi Shahadi on the question asked by ELAC members regarding why registrant rights and responsibilities was changed to registrant rights and benefits, Olivier is to request a formal response to this letter, to his letter, perhaps, not this letter. Well, this or his. That's fine.
Haven't done it yet. That will be something I do later on today. Evan, Holly, Carlton are to work together to develop a charter and provide initial chairs for the newly formed regulatory issues working group. I guess that's all fine. Is there any other action item that we did not record, or anything that you take as an action item that we did not record properly yesterday?
Olivia, was there anything stemming out about the issue brought up about meetings rearrangement? I think that was briefly mentioned on the call, but I don't think that actually had an action item along with it.
About which? I didn't hear. Meetings that were?
The issue of, like, the meeting rearrangements, moving the public forum around you know, we touched on earlier today about the cross purposes between that brainstorming session that happened last week and the meetings working group. That turn of events just seems really strange too. We touched on it yesterday, but didn't go very far.
Yeah. I don't think that. I mean, I'm not sure if there was a follow up on that specifically. There certainly is a call for comments that is out there, and I hope that this was reflected in our policy discussion, policy development page, because I did ask that this would be added on our policy development. No, that's not on there, is it? I asked staff to add it. There is basically the latest recommendations or the latest changes have now been put out for comment from all SOs and ACs. And that's an email which I forwarded to staff and which needs to go on our policy development, and we need to basically come back to them within, I think we have 3 or 4 weeks to come back to them. Tijani?
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. Yesterday you said something about that, Olivier, but I wasn't aware because I am on the working group and nothing is already decided. So I don't know if for Buenos Aires there is something that will be changed, and I don't think so because what we are doing is for the change, so I don't think that we will change before we finish our work.
Okay. Well, apparently we need to provide some feedback, and I'm not, again, I don't know what the process is for this, whether it's something that is just pursued by a specific board member or whether it's, up to what extent things will change. What it appears to be happening is that the Monday afternoon will definitely have an SO and AC SO and AC discussion, cross SO and AC discussion, because everyone thought that was a good idea. And the Thursday might have the public forum taking place in the morning, although Evan has emitted strong reservations about this on our behalf. Now,
yeah, but
the feedback that is required now from everyone, I don't know if this is a public consultation or not, but that certainly was sent to enough people that we should put it on the wiki, and I think we should have input directly from our community on this and issue a statement on this as a response.
But
and if it means that we need to do that within a week, then we need to do that within a week. Evan?
But the way this was done, again, is just so awful. We've got the meeting strategy working group, the one Tijani is on, and yet there was this hastily called SOAC brainstorming session that didn't even mention that it was going to be about meetings. Then I show up on the call, and all of a sudden meetings is the one and the only agenda thing that takes up the entire discussion. No mention of the meeting strategy working group, and yet the meetings people are in on this call. There's some, I can't express again, you know, how does this kind of thing happen? How do you have a brainstorming session where you don't know, the whole idea of brainstorming is, you know, what's on everybody's people's minds? No, I come into the call, I'm told it's about meetings, and all of a sudden there's significant changes being proposed that affect what happens at ICANN meetings. Things like the placement of the public forum. Things like, you know, severe pushback on me saying that, you know, there's still some constituencies that have something going on Friday. You know, there is an agenda going on here. And I'm really, really, really concerned. There is a working group that Tijani is on that deals with this. This was a deliberate end around, and I'm really upset that they did it this way. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan. Tijani, may I ask, were members of the working group invited to take part in this discussion?
No.
Were you aware that this discussion was going to take place?
No, not at all. But I would like to ask Heidi, since she is on the organizing now, she's with the staff who is organizing Buenos Aires. Is there something like this in the program? Are there doing any change in this direction?
Hi, Janine. Hi, all. This is Heidi. Yeah, I'm waiting. Today, they're telling me that they will have an answer. I've been hearing the same thing that you're hearing, that there might be something Monday afternoon, that there might, for ACs and SOs, that there might, the public forum might be in the morning, 8:30 to 1300, but again, nothing definitive. I followed up again yesterday to find out, so I should hopefully hear today.
Whose decision is it, Heidi?
I don't know who's. I think it might be Sally leading the group who is making these changes. But again, I'm not 100% sure.
It's strange. Anyway,
it was not on that call on Friday. Was it Friday? Yeah. This brainstorming.
Sally was on the call. Sally was on the call.
She might have been on the call, but she wasn't driving this.
No, she was not driving this, not at all, but she was certainly taking notes, and it is, I mean, I was not on the call either, because I was in HRT2, but I have read the transcript from start to end, and in fact, some parts of the transcript seem to have been inaudible for some reason. But anyway, I did note that she did say thanks to everyone at the end and said that was very helpful, but it is just, so I think we should put these proposals and the link to the transcript, et cetera. This is all into an email. I just can't find the email at the moment, but Heidi or staff, you must have a copy of that email. We put this on a wiki. We start a process on this, and we draft a statement about this, especially, and I think in that statement we can actually also express our surprise that the meeting strategy working group is a parallel thing that takes place on one side, and yet decisions are being taken totally in parallel with that. There is a disconnect here.
Yes, please. Yes.
But also, Olivier, that we have this thing called a brainstorming session that we weren't told what it was about, and then we show up there, and we've been told that it's about meetings. I mean, this is almost deliberately designed to catch us off guard, and I'm sorry, I can't say that that's accidental or incompetence. Usually when you have an agenda that you know something's going to be talked about, you send that agenda out in advance. That did not happen here.
Okay. I think we can move on then. Thank you with this. Tijani, your hand is still up. Thank you. Your hand is still up. Still now. Tijani? Have we lost the journey? No. Okay. Thanks very much to all of you. Let's move forward then, and let's go down to the last one, I believe. And that's the... I know we've got the regulatory issues. Okay. We've done all of the action items. Phew. That was supposed to take us 10 minutes. It's been 1 hour and 15 minutes. Policy advice development page. I think... You know all of the policy advice that is going on at the moment. I'll just list them, and if anybody wants to comment on these, please shout out. Study on who is privacy and policy service abuse. In fact, here, Holly and Carlton are to confirm if a statement is necessary. Carlton, have you had time to look at this?
I have looked at it. I actually think there should be. I sent a note on the list to Ollie and Evan to see if they agree. And three parts. First of all, ALAC has had a position on privacy proxy services, probably one of the first to call for regulation of privacy proxy services, including licensure. The REA 2013 has a specification listed for privacy proxy service that's still to be, and we will have something to say about that. And I can tell you the EWG, that issue has eaten up a lot of time in EWG discussion, so it's at the moment. I think there is something for us to say, and based on the information that is in this study, it is certainly reinforced the ALAC's perspective on it. I can tell you that there is a big pushback because of an issue that says a lot of companies use privacy proxy services for business purposes, and therefore they would not want to see that taken away. There's been a lot of talk around that and what we do with that. And so I think, yes, it's a good thing for the ALAC to do a statement.
Okay. Will you be holding or co-holding the pen, or do you wish to have just another little time to discuss it with Holly and Nevin on this before?
It's more than likely that I would cooperate, but it's more than likely Holly and Nevin would co-hold the pen on this.
Okay, thank you. Let's go for the next one. And the next one is Policy and Implementation Working Group. Alan and Evan, you are drafting a statement already on this. Evan, is it you that's leading on this?
Actually, I would prefer that Alan was leading and I'll help, and the main reason is, frankly, and I guess I didn't get a chance to say this much yesterday, I'm really not happy with this process at all. I don't think GNSO should be leading a P versus I thing. They have a vested interest. There should be a community-wide thing, and frankly, I have very, very little faith that this is going to accomplish anything concrete. But I'll work with Alan on our response, but I do so reluctantly in the belief that it is pointless.
Okay, Evan, thanks. Alan, I know your desk is full of papers, virtual papers. Do you have the cycles available for this?
I said yesterday I'd be willing to do it, but I'm not going to start anything until the end of this week or beginning of next week.
Okay.
If that's insufficient, then someone else needs to do it.
Next, the draft final report on protection of IGO.
Sorry, Olivier, Cheryl's got her hand up.
I can't see my screen. For some reason, I've lost network connectivity. Yes, go ahead, Cheryl.
Sorry about that. The Adobe Connect has been particularly flaky lately in the last couple of days, at least. Cheryl, for the record, just on that, I did also point out at the meeting that Alan's proposed timetable would work fine because the group itself would not be coming into a meeting as it normally would next week because of the staff retreat. So the whole of next week there will be no meeting from that work group. And as I pointed out to the work group, I think two or three meetings back now, we need to wait for the necessary cycling of getting feedback from the SOs and the ACs. But it is a valuable opportunity to put more input into the process. So it's not a problem for Alan's timetable, and no one would be looking at it inside a fortnight to 3 weeks anyway. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Let's go on to the next one, the draft consultation on GTRD delegation and redelegation. Alan, how is that progressing?
The answer is no different than yesterday. I have not looked at it yet.
Okay, that has to be sent by the 1st of October. Should staff just send a note that we will be late and we will be supplying this during the reply period?
I believe I said that by the 1st of September I will say whether I think one is needed or not, since that question has not
first
been
First of October,
addressed.
You mean?
1st of October, which is, I believe, is Monday.
So
I believe is Monday.
It's Monday, yes. Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Okay, no action from staff yet on this. Let's move on. The consultation on CCTLD delegation redelegation, voting is starting today, and the DNS risk management framework report, the vote is closing on the 27th of September, I believe. There is no other statement, or Alan, you did come up with another mention of another focus yesterday.
Sorry, I missed that question. I'm trying to work on the other thing you assigned to me in this meeting. What was the question?
There was no other policy development public comment going on at the moment apart from what was listed there. I know yesterday you mentioned something, but that was the IGO.
It was the IGO. It is listed there. We hadn't talked about it. We do need to work on it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move, if there's nobody else who wishes to comment on any of these statements, let's move on to the review of the ALAC meeting, the overall review of the ALAC meeting that we had yesterday. Just as an overview, it was a very long meeting as far as I think. We might have wasted a bit of time in the beginning of it, as we often do, but I thought it was very good, though, that we touched on all the points that we did touch on. On the decision side of things, certainly the joining of the WHO is and the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Working Groups, I very much welcome. I think it's certainly going to help with the workload and with not duplicating the work between the two. On the working group update, I was very pleased to see the advancement of the ICANN Academy working group. I was rather concerned, though, about the extended amount of discussion with regards to whom is going to the ICANN Academy, or not the Academy, but to the leadership training, and a little bit of confusion with regards to that. You know, part of the selection process, and I met Sandra really was the person driving this. Part of the selection process has to do with the overall politics that take place between the different SOs and ACs, and Sandra has been driving this joint, it is somehow a joint working group, dealing with the politics from each one of the other groups. And as you know, the call came out rather late, so there was a lot of feedback, negative feedback to start with about the call starting way too late, and people having already made their travel plans. At the same time, in the early days, there was a lot of concern from other SOs and ACs that this was an ALAC-led initiative and that if the trainers were all coming from ALAC, it would be the world according to the ALAC, and knowing that we are just one step away from hell, as far as they're concerned, that was just not the sort of thing they wanted to hear. So there was much concern about having trainers from other parts of ICANN as well. Someone from the GNSO to talk about the GNSO, someone, in fact, from the different SGs. And this is one of the reasons why I think we might have had to make use of some of our student slots. Remembering, this is a pilot. It's just the first year. Some of the student slots to have experienced people in them. I hope the controversy is not just going to continue going around in circles on this. I think things are progressing forward in a nice way. Heidi, could you just let us know how much, how many of the seats are now taken from all the SOs and ACs?
Yes, hi, Olivier. This is Heidi. We have 17 confirmed. One, 16, because the IPC said that they will send someone, but they won't know who that person is until a little bit later. So 17 confirmed at the moment. So we're just waiting for a few, basically from the ASO, from the SAC one is to be confirmed, from the GAS three are to be confirmed, and from the RSAC two are to be confirmed. So we're basically waiting for those. CCNSO, we have Celia, who's going to be there part-time, and Jordy, who's confirmed. SAC, we currently have Mark Seiden, who's confirmed. GNSO, we have several who are confirmed, if you want me to read through those. And everyone from ALAC is confirmed.
Okay, that's fine. I know that there was also some concern regarding Avery being a trainer or a student. I did discuss, in fact, Avery brought this forward last week in Washington, D.C., and asked me and said, well, do you think I should be going under the GNSO? Do you think that the ALAC and at-large will be annoyed at me being selected for this and taking an at-large seat? And my response to her was, as far as her taking part in this program, having seen her teach the summer school on internet governance and having seen her explain the way ICANN works, I thought she would absolutely need in any way to be included in that program, at least as a trainer. And if there was no space for her to be a trainer on there, then we would need to try and find a solution. So that was my point of view on that I told her, and I hope that we will be able to find a solution on this. Alan?
I'll just say what I said on the list. I find it somewhat surreal that we have a finite number of slots and we have to use them for both trainers and students. It just makes so little sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I guess it would have probably made more sense to have more trainer slots to start with. I know I have read from some participants saying, well, the trainers could be ICANN staff, and I've also seen strong pushback to ICANN staff being trainers in many of these. So there are a variety of views being expressed on this. And yes, Alan, I would agree with you that it is quite absurd to use some of our student slots for a trainer. But I guess it's the price of the pilot being successful. I gather next year, one of the lessons learned from this year will be that we would need to have more trainer slots. I can already see that just by seeing how the teams are being constituted. Evan?
Olivia, given the fact that we have people coming from every constituency that are going to be at the meeting already, can we not just ask the other constituencies that if they do want to have a trainer from their constituency, that it's somebody who's already going? That way we don't deprive students of slots. I don't think that's unfair, especially for the pilot. Thank you.
The extra hotel
day. Thank you, Evan. In fact, it's mostly, yeah, it's the hotel. It's not actually the travel. In fact, I don't think that the pilot takes into account the travel of anyone. It's just the hotel fees. Cheryl?
Thanks. I just wanted to reiterate what you had said to some extent. In as much as this is important feedback, this is a pilot. It's not going to be perfect. There's certainly, the lateness of the call out and all those other things. But Evan, yeah, I mean, that's an ideal situation. We also need to remember that there are a number of the constituencies who, I don't want you to become bleeding hearts over this, but they're planning many, many months in advance what their business break commitments are. Just thinking from the CCTLD community, every extra day away at an ICANN meeting is a day that you're not running your registry and that sort of thing. So these things need to be even to get trainers from community, like, for example, someone from the CCTLD community, they need to know they need to be there 2 or 3 days earlier than they would plan, because normally they're only coming in on the Saturday or the Sunday, and sometimes it's the Monday. So it'll get better. The trainers need to be separately from the other. But I think the fact that we've got Heidi working so closely and the experiences of Sandra come into play, even though it's not going to be perfect, it'll still, I believe, be very successful. We just have to help make sure that it is. So I don't want to do too much pitching about how we could have built a better model at this point in time. I think we should save that for feedback and report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. In fact, may I just add that the queries and the questions and the concerns that are being expressed with regards to the length of the week and the length of the amount of time that was
that is going to be spent there and the lateness at which people have to arrange travel were all concerns which were discussed and expressed in the working group itself. And perhaps those people who came from those constituencies that are complaining at the moment did not express the concerns at the time, and that's really, I have to remind everyone, this is a working group which had people from all of the SOs and ACs and constituencies, and if they missed a meeting and didn't do their work, I'm not going to now start asking Sandra to apologize for any of this. I know there is no need to apologize, but certainly, yes, the lessons learned will incorporate what went well, what didn't go that well, and what could be improved. But these are not new things that come out of the woodwork. These are all things which were predicted, problems which were predicted, and saying the only way to get around those problems is to actually try it and see how it works. Alan? Alan Greenberg, you must be muted.
Sorry, I can't hear you
at the moment.
I was muted, and I forgot what I was going to say, so thank you.
Okay, thank you, Alan. Let's move on. Time is ticking. It's already been an hour and a half that we've been together. ATLAS 2 Organizing Committee, Capacity Building Working Group, and Metrics Working Group, very happy to hear things are moving forward swiftly. A little concern about the delay which the ATLAS 2 Organizing Committee has had into putting together a survey to send to the ALSs. But I'm glad to be able to announce that yesterday night, or just a few hours ago, night for Europe, but maybe a morning for others, or afternoon for others, the organizing committee met, and there is a final push for this survey to be sent out. So we're basically on track, a little bit delayed, and I've pushed for the organizing committee to continue pushing so that we don't actually incur this knock-on effect to the late start of the survey itself. Any comments or questions about any of these working groups, ATLAS 2, capacity building, and metrics? I don't see anyone putting their hand up on this. So after that, the ICANN meeting strategy working group, well, we had a quick update, and we've discussed this a little bit earlier. The review of the at-large meeting schedule, I think we might wish to discuss this just afterwards in our XCOM call. And the ICANN Community Regional Outreach Pilot Program, the CROP. And trust me, Heidi and I have already had quite a bit of a laugh around that new acronym,
I'm gonna have the CROP. Fun with that.
Give me the CROP about the CROP. Any thoughts on this? Any feedback on that? This is something which came out of ICANN staff and proposals which I think will greatly reduce the push that the ALAC often has into having to give its point of view or trying to get funding for people to travel to local meetings, etc. And it certainly empowers the railroads to be able to identify meetings whilst at the same time making sure that they don't go off without respecting the strategic expectations that are required from such travel. Tijani, I know you've been very much involved with travel issues. You have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. It's not the travel issues, it's the outreach issue and the capacity building issue. I think that we have a big chance, we have a big opportunity. I think that we are lucky because, this pilot program is dedicated to the RALOs and the ALSs and the non-contracted parties of the GNSO. So it is something that is really ours. And I am so happy that that ICANN is listening to the community, since they took from the additional request, the additional budget request from each AC and SO, and they noticed that there is always a request for outreach from the RALOs. So they thought that perhaps they can implement a pilot project and see how it will work. And they put very, very, very rigorous and very, very tight rules for that and procedures. And I think we are we have the duty, we have the obligation to succeed this pilot program. If we succeed it, we will have funds for outreach for the future. If we don't, we will not have such funding, and we will not have the credibility that now ICANN and the staff is giving us. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tijani. Well said. Any other points or questions? Heidi, do we know how this is going to be implemented on the consultancy travel side of things, or is this still very early stage?
This is Heidi. Thank you, Liz. Yeah, I think it is still being developed, and I think it's going to depend on how quickly the requests start coming in, what kinds of requests those are. Alan and Olivier and I discussed, you know, some concerns if one of the requests is for a conference where you need to book a hotel by certain dates or a certain hotel. So will constituency travel be able to meet that deadline? What happens if they don't? You know, will they pay the additional hotels, et cetera? So these details are still being worked out.
But Heidi, it's Olivier speaking. If there was a request tomorrow for a meeting next week, would this be already, I mean, would things already be in place to move forward, or are we looking at rolling this out in January or in a few months' time?
So this is Heidi. As I understand it, it's ready to go now, so the request can start coming in. Okay, but having said that, there's a checklist that needs to be completed, and that checklist at times is considered to take up to 8 weeks. So it would be, I mean, if there's something in December, then that seems more reasonable. Next week, I think, would be too early. And at the same time, what needs to be developed within ALAC or within at large is a task force that will be reviewing the various requests that are coming in. And tomorrow, we also are going to be having Secretariat Caldwell, where we're going to be explaining it to the RALO leaders a bit more so they can pass it down to their ALSs.
Okay, thank you, Heidi. It's Olivia speaking. Do you have any written, drafted information, presentation, or something that you will be able to pass down to the RALOs?
This is Heidi again. Olivia, what I was planning on showing was the wiki page and the document that Rob and Janice sent out.
Okay.
But that was the extent of it.
Okay, thank you. Tijani, and then Cheryl. Yes. Tijani first.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. There is first the email sent by Janice, which is very explicit. Second, we have a wiki page, and I am asking Heidi, please put the link on the chat so that people who didn't have a chance to visit it to go there. Third point, this pilot program is for FY14. So we need to consume it, to use it during FY14. So there is, as I said, there is a very, very detailed procedure and rules to follow to be able to get this funding. And I think that we need to work on it. Each RALO has to work on it. And perhaps, as Heidi said, perhaps we can set up a task force, something like this, to help the RALOs and also to perhaps to harmonize the requests. So that it will be, I would like to tell you that there is a part for each RALO. There is five parts. So there is no competition. Everyone can get it. But we have to have really projects that are in this philosophy and which are acceptable. That's all.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. Next is Cheryl.
Thank you, and I certainly support absolutely everything Tijani has said. It's imperative that this pilot is made successful. That said, I wanted to suggest for your consideration that rather than creating another new task force, you do have good and equitable regional representation in your budget finance subcommittee. This is the type of requests and stuff that's been done and deliberated through that process. So your longer-standing members actually have some experience in all of this. I was wondering whether or not, particularly when you're talking to the regional secretariats, it might be appropriate to make it a work team that is a subsection of your existing budget and finance subcommittee. My rationale for that is, as I said, the experience that group's already had, it will actually make sure that you've got each of the RALOs learning off each other as they try and appropriately and effectively use this opportunity in what is really going to be half a financial year, not a full financial year, by the time it gets onto it. But I did want to make the point that, unfortunately, from the Asia-Pacific point of view, some of our most important opportunities have already been missed because of the timing on all of this. But I'm quite sure AP RALO will do its best to effectively create the right opportunities to make this pilot work. The other reason I think you might want to think about when you consider making this not a task force that's standalone, but rather part of a working team as a subset of your budget and finance subcommittee, is that this is exactly the sort of thing that the original budget and finance subcommittee in 2007 called for, and it would give me enormous satisfaction to see it come to pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. In fact, the plan was to have it not only, I think, with the Finance and Budget Subcommittee, but also to have members of the Outreach Working Group also included in this, since it really has to be a coordination between the strategic work of the Outreach Working Group, the RALO, and the Finance and Budget Subcommittee.
That was the idea
that I had. Incorporate all of those together. Yeah.
Point taken,
absolutely. Yes, go ahead, Cheryl.
So you have overlap in the personnel in all of those already.
Areas, exactly.
And to that extent, that's why a subset of what I would suggest is your highest ranking, because it's the subcommittee of the ALAC, not one of the work groups or other teams, is probably the smartest way to go. It gives it the highest order of control, but it means you're not building yet another piece to the machine.
Thank you, Cheryl. Let's have this as, well, we can't really have it as an action item, but let's keep this in our notes. Tijani.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Sorry to take the floor again. I don't want it to be dominated or controlled by ALAC. I want it to be facilitated and harmonized by ALAC. I want ALAC to be checking the conformity with the procedure, with the process, but I would like that the RALOs do their own job, come up with their own projects that they believe they can be useful for their ALSs, because we as ALAC, we are not always, we don't understand always the specificities and the particularities of each region. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. I don't think it was suggested that that it was to be controlled by ALAC, but it was just that the committee itself would incorporate the Finance and Budget Subcommittee, which are people from each one of the regions. They are the delegates from each one of the regions for two things, really. One, coordinate, and two, the whether it actually fits within the strategic objectives. And I heard Cheryl as well.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, I thought I was really careful to keep saying coming from the RALOs, from the regional secretariats, you know, and the reason we doubled the size and got the regional representatives into the Budget and Finance Subcommittee was to ensure that there was proper RALO engagement as the, what was then a competitive process was run. So it's not top down, it's just coordinated.
But that's exactly what I mean. I mean that the Finance and Budget Subcommittee is the right place to coordinate,
okay,
because it is a matter of process more than other things. It is a matter of conformity with the overall objective of the project. But I don't want it to be controlled by the Finance and Budget Subcommittee and another part, perhaps the outreach or perhaps the capacity building or perhaps no. I want them to decide on their projects. But if their projects are not conform with the overall project, overall aim of the project, it will be controlled in this case. But if not, if it is inside it, no problem. We have to let them do what they want.
Gianni, it's Olivier speaking. Actually, not quite, because there is a requirement, and that's actually a requirement which is put there, that it needs to be within the strategy of the outreach and within the overall ICANN strategy. And this is why there is this group that would be making sure that's within the strategy. If a RENO comes up with a project or with a travel that totally is outside the overall strategy and outside the strategy for expansion, an outreach strategy, then there would be a problem there.
This is what the Finance and Budget Subcommittee do, and did for the additional request, as you remember.
And Tijani, that's exactly why they're involved. Just overall on that, I think we are in agreement with the way that things are. It's not the FDSC and it's not the Outreach Subcommittee that are driving this. It's the railroads that are driving this. But there is this overlooking capacity from the outreach and the FDSC to make sure things are in line. That's all.
Okay.
Alan?
No, we've really covered it. This whole program is a pilot. The ALEC has some responsibility to make sure that what we do is going to help support it in the future and not get it canceled. And it really is an oversight, not a decision-taking rule. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Any other thoughts on the ALAC call we had yesterday? I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so let's move on to the next part of our call, which is
While you're looking, we can go back to the board selection committees anytime you want. You have an email at this point.
The board selection committee. Okay.
The thing we deferred from earlier in the meeting.
Let's just finish this at the moment. Review of the ALAC meeting is done. Review of the at-large meeting schedule and agendas. I note many people have to leave in 15 minutes. Let's go through this quickly. Staff, Heidi, you have the floor.
Okay, so as discussed, this is Heidi for the record. So as discussed yesterday on the ALAC call, basically pretty much I think we're all in good shape, just waiting for some, if there are any changes to the overall ICANN schedule. Matt, could you please put the, I'll just start with Sunday, and we can do that quickly. Has everyone had a chance to review this, or do you wish to do that now? I'm just conscious of the time. But again, this is your last chance, because meeting submissions, the forms are going to be going in this week, so this is it.
Well, Heidi, I'm just very confused, it's Olivier speaking, because the meeting forms have to go this week, and then we're told that the meetings are going to be switched around, and stuff which we're discussing here is effectively a waste of time. And we're wasting our time trying to design something which will be tumbled upside down. And I'm not particularly pleased about wasting my time. And I'm sure my colleagues are not either, and I'm sure you're not.
No, definitely. Yeah, this is Heidi again. So, yeah, definitely not. Let me restate that. at-large staff are going to start submitting the forms because next week we're going to be in our workshop. Deadline is not until, I think, the week after, midweek. Ah. So we do have some few extra days. So we'll be submitting the ones that we know won't be changing, you know, for Sunday, et cetera. But for the Monday afternoon and the Thursday, we'll wait until we hear what's going on.
Okay.
So if you just wanted to quickly look, we have three meetings basically planned for Sunday this time, so a very long day, starting at 8 o'clock with the ALEC Metrics Subcommittee. Cheryl, I'll add to your agenda. Thank you for that. Sunday, a good session, mostly with presentations this time, with including Fadi, Sally and her global stakeholder engagement team, Duncan Burns leading the communications team, and then Maggie, again, only for 30 minutes because she's asking that everyone come to her session, which is later in the week. And then we're inviting Steve Crocker, Susanna Bennett, and Xavier from Finance and CFO in reverse order. And then we have a meeting with the GAC. That's going to be in the GAC room, so that's going to give a nice welcome break for everyone after their lunch to go to the GAC room. Hot topics will be the Atlas II and at-large selection process. Then we have a confirmed meeting with ESSAC. So far, just Patrick, but we're hoping for others. And then we have a wrap-up session, just a very short wrap-up session, and it might be used if we go over. Is this in too much detail, or should I just continue on this?
First day sounds great. Please just continue on each one of the days.
Okay,
this is one of the longest ones. So.
Okay, so Monday, actually that's one of the shortest ones. I'm just going to start Monday here. This is Monday. So, again, this is a day that might still be open. So we have the registry issues groups, 11 o'clock. Again, Carlton, if you and Holly could send the agenda for that, that would be appreciated. We have a future challenge working group. The agenda talks basically about the R3, putting that one basically an official closure to that one, moving on to the next items for that working group. Now, the question is, again, the multi-stakeholder policy roundtable. Are there any ALEC members or anyone who has the time to discuss that or to organize that? And again, should that be moved to another spot if that Monday afternoon is going to be a blackout period? That's something that I need to know within the next week or so on that. And again, I'll let you know as soon as I hear anything about the Monday afternoon session. And then just Monday evening, we have the Neuralo monthly meeting, and then we have the Black Neuralo showcase, which Sylvia is working to organize. That's going to be quite a bit of fun, so put your dancing shoes on when you come to that.
Do you want comments Tuesday? On day-to-day? Sorry, Heidi, do you want comments on day-to-day or not?
Yes, please. If there are any changes, then yes, please.
Okay. Now, just the point you raised, the reason the multi-stakeholder roundtable works so well when it's been already done is because it is the Monday and it acts as a good cross-community focus point. If there's a blackout period and another ACSO cross-community activity, then I would question the effort and energy to go into another multi-stakeholder roundtable to be squeezed into your agenda. But if there isn't a blackout period, then I'd like to think that it could happen. Thanks.
Okay, so, I think it's a very good point. The next question then is, if it goes ahead, what's the topic and who's going to lead on that? But I'll let you sort that out. Okay, so Tuesday, again, very full day. ALEC meeting with the board. Now we haven't heard yet about any social activities, so we will let you know about that. I think the ALEC is due for a dinner or at least a lunch. So that will maybe even later in the day on Tuesday, I don't know. ALEC policy discussion right now is the working group update for the most part. Cheryl, you have another session there. Actually, no, Evan, you're leading that one. It's the new GTLD metrics implementation. LAC Rival Monthly Call during lunch. It's a working lunch. ALEC with the ATRT2. That shouldn't say TBC. That's been confirmed. So we need an agenda for that. And then ALEC Policy Session 1. That agenda is still pretty much open. We do have a session with the ASO for 30 minutes. But, Olivia, if you could let me know, or all of you could let me know on what topics you'd like to discuss during that session. Again,
thank you, Heidi. Just one thing regarding the policy discussion. We try to keep it as policy as possible because there often is part of this time is often taken by our own procedural stuff. And I think we really owe it to have more policy discussion on that day. So please, if you have any suggestions as to what additional policy meetings we should have during that two-hour session on policy discussion part two, make your suggestions. Send your suggestions in, please. Back to you, Heidi.
Okay. So we could just, right now, if you want some more time to think about that, we could just put an open agenda item of hot policy topics for the rest of that day, and then just plan that as you have the time for that.
Heidi, Cheryl here. Would that be a likely day where we would be trying to slot in the meeting with CCMSO, or it's just our Sunday seems to be extremely full, so these are alternatives with Tuesday, that's all.
Absolutely. If you wanted to do that, absolutely. We could still somehow squeeze you in.
So could you put in a place, you can still have that within Tuesday, but I wouldn't mind a placeholder in that, even though it would still need to be confirmed because CCNSO haven't come back with their half of the
Would you be willing to have that during the policy discussion, or you want that to just remain?
I don't have a problem. That's Olivia's call. But I just wonder if we don't find time on the agenda, then it won't happen at all. And it is normally on the Tuesday where CCNSO meets with other parts of the ICANN community, GAC and GNSO, for example.
Yeah, so Olivia, if you could, Cheryl, how long will that meeting be, do you think? 30 to 45 minutes? Or
it depends whether you're talking about a working lunch with the ALAC and CCNSO councillors, whether you're talking executive and a subset of the CCNSO, or whether you're talking a whole community group meeting.
So the lunch, we could still have that during the lunch period because we only have the LAC RALO meeting. So that would be an option. The other option would be to put it slotted in during the ALAC policy session part two, which is a two-hour session. So
if that works for Olivier, then that's one of the proposals I think we should make to CCNSO.
Yeah. Olivier?
That works with me, Heidi. It's Olivier speaking. I just want, we have a working group that's been set up for this. I'd like the working group to do its work and make us some suggestions and, then we can move forward.
I've made those suggestions. I'm just seeing where the space of the time is. There's obviously nothing in the Sunday suggestion, so we've deleted all of that from the table.
Yeah. So Tuesday is obviously the day to do it, and Heidi will be making some suggestions as to slots. And, yes, we could move around the afternoon policy discussion or chop part of it off.
Well, would you be okay with inserting it in there? Would you be okay with inserting the 30-minute slot into that agenda for policy part two?
30-minute slots.
30-minute slot with CCNSO in that session, policy discussion part
two.
Cheryl
say they wanted the one-hour slots?
I didn't hear that. Is that what you said, Cheryl?
If you're talking about a 30-minute slot, then, again, you need to look at managing a very tight agenda by the time people start late and everything else.
Cheryl, do you want to take this off the list? Because then we can talk a little bit more about what the aims are.
I'm happy to. I just wanted a placeholder put in there somewhere.
Okay.
Or I'd get back to the CCNSO and say we won't be holding a joint meeting. That's all fairly easy, too.
Okay, this is Heidi. I'll be in contact with you later today, Cheryl.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty straightforward thing, yes. I would have thought 1 hour with CCNSO, find the slot.
Okay, that's one
it.
Hour.
Yep.
Let's move on.
And
to
I would say, okay. Okay, Wednesday then? So again,
we've done Wednesday.
Today with, yeah, so Wednesday, is that in the list here? So beginning with the AP RALO meeting? Academy Working Group session, that's going to be feedback on the leadership training. That's a 90-minute session. Then there's going to be a joint Atlas and Regional Secretariats meeting. There will not be a standalone Regional Secretariats meeting this time. Then the XCOM with the NCSG leadership, that's going to be a lunch
Olivier, I don't know if you'd like to have that in a restaurant or if you want that in a meeting room where everyone brings their own lunch, so that's up to you for Robin and you to decide.
I'd like to find out what the cost is to have it in a meeting room, please, if we can have packed lunch, if we can't, if we, you know, all of these things, the usual stuff and the options, please.
Okay.
Okay. At the moment, then I don't know if it's going to cost us $50 a head to have a sandwich with just bread.
That's what my concern is. Anyway, I think it's within reason, but I just need to know. If you could let me know the total numbers, then that would help as well. Okay, next one is Afro-African joint meeting in the afternoon, and I've let the regional vice presidents, all of them, know when the RALOs are having their meeting, so there hopefully will not be any conflict or meetings that are running right next to each other, as that raised some concerns last time in Durban. Then in the afternoon, there's still a one-hour slot left available for a joint Atlas II capacity building academy and regional secretariats meeting. So there's a lot of time to discuss issues related to the summit. In the afternoon, Rinalia, there's an IVN working group. If you could please send an agenda today, which you may have left. But I do need that. And then there's an at-large new GTLD working group with agenda set Thursday wrap-up session. Again, that's going to be 3.5 hours, but it might be moved to the afternoon. And then Friday, there is the XCOM, again, 3 hours. Cheryl, the NOMCOM session is 30 minutes between 9:30 and 10.
Now, is that being confirmed with Joey?
Yes. I think I said that
before. Thank you,
actually. Okay, so that's where we are there. Then the other issues, if Olivia, if you'd like to, we could either go through this today or just start thinking about it, the questions that you would like to ask to the various groups, and particularly, for example, the public forum questions.
I think that, yes, Heidi, it's Olivia speaking. I think that because we are really running out of time on today's call, let's send out a call for filling those wikis with the questions, and I hope that everyone on the XCOM here will be able to fill those wikis accordingly, and then we'll do the usual thing, which is to look at each one of the wikis a few weeks before the meeting and send the questions over to the other party.
Correct. Okay, so I'll go ahead and maybe give a deadline of mid-October for that then.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, and I think that's it. Evan, I did see your question to constituency travel about the visa issues. Matt, do you have any updates on that by chance? The issue with the visa upon entry or whatever that is?
No, I didn't know that.
What that is that Canadians, Americans, and Australians have to pay something called a reciprocity fee that varies by country.
Yep.
And I wanted to confirm that constituency travel is going to be reimbursing that, because that ends up being as high as $160.
Correct.
Hi, Evan. Matt, for the record. Yes, when I talked to Jesse, he said they're basically going to treat it as if it's a visa. So get it, keep your receipt, and then you'll be reimbursed for the cost of it. Hello?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Okay, any other questions or comments on agenda item number 5? No one? Right, let's go for any other business. Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you. I sent out an email which everyone should have received by now. It was on the ALAC internal list. Has anyone not received it?
There's about the board selection.
Board selection committees is the subject line.
Yes, it's here.
Okay, I've identified all of the known rules and identified the decisions the ALAC must make, and I think the XCOM is in a suitable position to make most of those decisions. On the BMSPC, both committees, anyone who agrees to be on the committee is saying they will not submit an expression of interest to run for the board position. So that's a given. The BMSPC should be regionally balanced. The rules say at least 2 members from each region, and I think any more than 2 would be unwieldy, but that's my personal position. It's the ALAC decision whether the ALAC appoints the chair or the BMSPC selects the chair from amongst its members. The rules are silent whether if the ALAC appoints the chair, it is an additional person to the 10 or whatever, 5X. I believe last time, however, Cheryl, that you were chair and you were not part of the regional representation. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I would strongly suggest the ALAC pick someone for their management ability to do this and for their ability to understand the rules associated with that and not leave that to some chance of one of the appointees taking on the role. There are just too many critical decisions that have to be made along the way and quickly this is a place for some experience, I would think. So my recommendation certainly is the ALAC appoint someone. The people are selected by the RALOs and ALAC. There is no specific methodology. I would suggest that you call for recommendations from the RALOs, and then the ALAC puts together the final slate. I have no strong opinion whether you should ask for three and pick two of them or just ask for two and hope they're good. And there is no restriction on ALAC members being on the committee, and last time there were several. I would strongly recommend that there be significant overlap from the last group. As I said, there's a lot of stuff to do here. And last time there was significant overlap. Well, this group was formed by the ABSDT, or most of the members, which is the group that designed the process. So there was very significant expertise in the group as to what they were trying to be doing. You need to capture that somehow. And to the extent that I hold some of the knowledge as one of the designers of the process and the person who has now documented it and perhaps the only person to have looked at it in the recent several years, I'd be glad to do a briefing at the beginning of the BMSPC group. So I think the only decision that has to be made is how many people do you ask for the RALOs to suggest as names, prioritized or not, and if the ALAC will make that cut afterwards, and I would suggest the ALAC and or the XCOM do that, but we're on a tight timeline. Do you want me to go ahead? Do you want decisions on this one, or do you want me to go ahead with the next one first?
Do the next one.
Next one, okay.
Next one, please.
BCEC, again, you cannot. Once you're on the group, you cannot run. Two per RALO selected by the RALO. This is not an ALAC selection. The chair is selected by the ALAC in addition to the 10 members. The rules say the chair may have a vote. In 2010, my understanding is, I wasn't part of the group, is that the chair in consultation with, or perhaps by edict, over the group said the chair will not have a vote.
It was an edict.
Okay. The post-mortem made a strong recommendation that the chair, I don't remember the exact wording, but it's in the postmortem that's pointed to, that the chair either have a vote or be allowed to vote in cases of ties and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't remember if it's have a vote but withhold it unless necessary, but something like that. And I presume that that was brought up by specific issues that made it relevant to the group. The practice last time was that the chair have no members that are part of the electorate, that the BCEC have no members that are part of the electorate, that is the ALAC and the RALO chairs who will be voting. That's not a rule that I can locate, but it was either a recommendation of the ABSDT, which I can't find documented, or a decision of the ALAC at the time. Cheryl, do you have any insight as to that?
It was considered to be a best practice, okay. Remembering that we were running NASA as a pilot, so we wanted to keep things church and state as separate as possible, is what we were trying to do.
Okay. And lastly, in 2010, it was considered important that a number of the members have NOMCOM experience, which is a not dissimilar process. And I would assume that this time around the criteria is we would like people with NOMCOM and or 2010 BCE experience. I'm presuming Cheryl will be prepared, and it is legitimate for Cheryl to brief the BCEC and or the chair that is selected by the AILAC as to the issues that were important. And my recollection is that there was some talk of confidentiality problems in selected parts of the process, and we may want to try to make sure that the people who caused a problem, if there were such people, do not end up on the group again. And how one does that with the RALO doing the selection, I will leave to you and keep out of that process. So really the only decisions we need to make right now is the decision on how we select, how we get the RALO input into the BMSPC process. And do we look for more or less? And do we, does the AILAC, is the AILAC going to appoint the chair external to the process of the regional balance, which, as I said, I recommend, but it's not my call.
Okay, thank you.
Can I say something? Sorry, I'm not
yes,
in the room. It's still reloading.
Well, because Tijani has the time,
but you
can go ahead first, and then Tijani.
I'll go after Tijani.
Go on, Tijani, then, please.
Okay. What I wanted to say is that I agree with Alan that the best is to have the chair of the BCEC appointed by the AILAC and not voting. But if we need the chair, if the chair has to vote, it can't be the one appointed by AILAC, because it is out of the 10 persons that are allowed to vote. So the chair, if he is one of the 10 persons, the electorate, okay, he can vote. Perhaps if we decide that he don't vote, it's okay. If there is a tie, he can vote, okay. But if we decide to appoint someone external from those 10, he cannot vote anyway. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. We'll first have Cheryl and then Alan. Cheryl Langdonor, please.
Thank you. And I'm glad I went after Tijani because I can respond to that as well. Regarding the particular questions Alan has raised for your leadership team to decide upon, hopefully at today's call, well, that might now need to be on list. I would suggest that it is possible for you to ask, put the call out and even ask for expressions of interest to come in from ALS members and regional, and say that ALS members, ALS representatives and regional leadership, particularly with experience in previous nominating committees for AILAC or in outside organisations, or who have served on the BCEC or similar processes within AILAC, and actually get people who want to put themselves forward. I'm deeply concerned with the timing, that we are getting awfully close to missing deadlines and getting too much time pressure on ourselves during the process if we don't get the call for the BMPSC and the BCEC out as soon as humanly possible. What you could then do is, just as the ATRT processes that you went through before, is actually ask for any regional endorsements for those people, plus that the regions could put forward names independently. I think you need to have a puddle to choose from, and I think you need to be able to do it within the next 30 days. To Tijani's point, thank you for raising that. Can I just share with you the reason that that was the issue of having a casting vote was raised in the post-mortem documentation was because a tie vote happened twice, not on anything to do with candidate processing. It was to do with administration. And I would like to think that there would be no point in time where such a situation would occur in a future BCEC. So what that means is if the ALAC wishes to appoint a chair and make the edict that that chair is non-voting, I don't think that part of the post-mortem advice is actually that important, because a properly managed BCEC where they're not trying to build the plane as well as fly it should never get into the situation where there is a tied vote. And of course with five regions and two people per region, you can technically get a tied vote, and that did happen in your first run in 2010. So I wouldn't be too concerned about appointing a chair to the BCEC that was not able to vote, because they shouldn't be taking votes anyway. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Cheryl. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Yeah. Thank you. A couple of things. I'll point out the obvious to those of us who are around then, but at the time when Cheryl was the non-voting member, non-voting chair of BCEC, she was also an ALAC member and the ALAC chair,
mm-hmm.
Which colors the whole thing to some extent. That may or may not happen again this time. I'm you know, it's not my call, certainly.
Oh, I think the ALAC chair would make a wonderful chair of the BCEC.
Well, I'll point out that the decision on voting was a BCEC decision, and it could have been gone other ways given different personalities, including
actually,
the
Alan,
including
there
the cast.
I've got to disagree with you. It was not. It was an ALAC decision. But that's my memory versus yours.
The ALAC rules say the BCEC. The formal rules of procedure say the chair may have a vote.
Yes, we built it that way.
But my recollection is we selected the chair, and the chair said, "I will not have a vote," and no one was willing to stare you down and say you will vote. But I don't think this is a crucial issue in any case.
No, it is not.
And it certainly becomes important once the group starts meeting, and is not necessarily important for the call for participation. One thing Cheryl said confused me. I don't know whether you were talking about the BMSPC or the BCEC. The BMSPC is chosen certainly in coordination with and partly by the ALAC. The BCEC, I believe, is giving the RALOs what the constraints are. I believe they simply name people. Is that not what happened last time? That's certainly what the rules imply.
Yes, that's what happened.
The pool to choose from is not for the BCEC, it's for the BMSPC.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
But both calls have to go out at the same time.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just making that clear that the ALAC is out of the loop in choosing the BCEC members other than the chair. And I was confused by what you said. Maybe no one else was.
Right. And can I just say, in future, the call for the BMSPC has to go out well in advance to the BCEC, because you would assume probably up to a 50% overlap of regional people. And what we're actually doing is making people work twice as hard for a small amount of time now, which is regrettable.
I'll point out the adjunct document, which I hope is going out for a vote today. Hint, hint. Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Chair is watching. The instructions are that it should be. But,
there's a preliminary timetable for this board selection in it. Most of it will be completely rethought by the BMSPC once it is convened. It does suggest, however, that the call is going to go out within the call went out yesterday, and it will be approved at the ALAC meeting on the 22nd of October. I believe it would be preferable to somehow finesse it quicker than that, but it certainly can't be any later.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. Next is Tijani.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. I think it's important to make the precision about the voting chair, because Since we are adding another member to the BCEC who is not a member of the electorate, if he will vote, we will modify the electorate composition. And another reason, for example, the XCOM, the NOMCOM, for the NOMCOM, the chair is not voting. In any case, he never votes, even if there is ties. So we should be very strict and very clear that a chair who is out of the electorate cannot vote. Thank you.
He is, Johnny. He is. Couldn't agree with you more.
Yes, thanks, Tijani. That's well taken into account. Heidi has also asked whether the calls for BTAC and BMSPC should be in the same message, or can they be in the same message? Any thoughts on this?
If you put them in the same message, make it really clear that that the rules are somewhat different for the two. And if you put them in different messages, make it clear someone isn't going to think they sent it out twice and ignore one of them.
I think it could be a benefit to the same message, but very clear. And tell them that they are allowed to overlap.
Yeah. Okay.
That's correct. Their overlap is allowed.
Tijani, your hand is still up?
No. Sorry, it's not there.
Okay. Thank you, Tijani. Any other points on this? Any further discussion from anyone? I think we've pretty much rounded everything. Heidi, you are aware of what...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the end of that. I'm aware of what? Olivier?
I think we lost him.
Yes.
I guess it was a bad word he said and they cut him off. These sensors are everywhere.
Well, we'll never know what Heidi's supposed to be aware of now.
Making me a bit nervous.
Well, it's all on you now, Heidi. The ball went to you. You've just got to try and find it, catch it, and run with it.
I suspect, this is Heidi, I suspect what he was going to say is I'm aware of what needs to go into this message. Well, I'm going to draft it.
I would think Heidi that both Alan and I would be happy to dot the I's and cross the T's and help with that. But if you did copy that drafted message, it should go to the full leadership team, I think.
Yeah,
Heidi, for the record, the question was, Heidi, you're aware of what your next steps are now.
Heidi, one more comment aimed at you. In trying to put together what the agenda, what the schedule was for the last process, I had one hell of a time because things that I would have put good money on would have been announced on the ALAC announce list, on the ALAC list, on the at-large list, were not anywhere. You know, the only reference I could find to the expression of interest call being extended was a formal ICANN press release. It was not mentioned on any at-large list, as far as I can tell, according to the logs. And there's a whole bunch of other things like that. So I think this time we're going to have to be scrupulous and make sure that these announcements do go out in the right place at the right time.
Okay. I mean, I believe that they were sent out. And I mean, given that we had so many people, so many SOIs, I would think that they probably saw it on the ALAC list. But
no, I'm talking about the extension.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
But there were other things I couldn't find also that should have been on the ALAC announce list.
Yeah, Alan, part of that, sure, the list of one things, but unfortunately at the 2010 we were still using the social text. A lot of what could be found is sort of somewhere, you know, lost in transition, unfortunately. It won't happen again because there's entirely different processes in place.
Yeah, but I'm talking about things that should have got that I should have been. I thought I should have been able to find on email archives that weren't there. So,
well, of course, so deliberations of the BCEC, no one should be able to find them.
No, I wasn't. I was talking about announcements.
Mm-hmm.
Formal announcements. Anyway.
Okay.
the clock is ticking. I know that several people must have, need to go, basically. So are there any other business to discuss now?
No, but can you, if you call for your BMSTC, you will need to set a time for their first meeting in the call, because you do not have the luxury of doodling and then fiddle-assing around for a month. I would suggest your call should state when the first meeting will be held, and it would be also that at that meeting they confirm or modify the proposed timeline, because if you let them chew it over, they should in fact be acting as oversight and future planning, not so much building the machine at this end. But yes, sure, they need to have the courtesy of doing a sanity check on the possibilities of the proposed timeline. If you don't do that, I genuinely fear now for this process.
Now, Cheryl, if you wanted the BMSPC to approve a timeline at its first meeting, you and or I and or one or two other people have got to refine the one in the adjunct document 4. It was put together with a bunch of known flaws in it. So that would have to be rethunk before the committee meets, if there's a hope that they could ratify it at their first meeting. I don't mind participating in that.
Alan,
I'm just noting that.
Cheryl drops, so okay. I'm not sure if she can hear you. So how about if I just go ahead and draft a note? This is Heidi. I'll draft a note. Do we have a deadline for a call for membership? Could we say 4th of October, or is that too soon?
It's up to Olivier.
I thought maybe 1 week.
So if we get it out today or later tomorrow.
So if we go around that.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl.
You heard what I said. Sorry.
So we're just talking deadlines. So Olivier just said 1 week for the call. So if we get it out today or tomorrow, we could have it the 4th of October, and then the call of the BMSPC the week of the 7th.
That probably works. I don't have the exact timeline. I don't know what the exact timeline is. And so as early as possible, 7th is in 2 weeks' time.
Is that are you going to get enough time for those people to be appointed?
That's what, Olivier said 1 week. So is that too soon? And that, so basically, we would give them until the 4th?
You're talking about suggestions from the railroads for BMSPC.
Yeah.
They can't be meeting the following week. The ALEC has to confirm them.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah, so...
The BCEC is simple. That can run in parallel, but that's actually something that can run, start its work a little bit later. As long as it's getting its calls for expressions of interest and things out in the November-December period, it should still be all right. But if you just look to Alan's timeline and try and work around that and make a sensible time for the... I would suggest that the BMSTC meets on the day that Alan has listed for confirmation of its membership, which I thought was the end of October.
22nd, I would say. Meet within a day or so.
Cheryl,
when you dropped, did you hear what I said about the schedule?
Nope.
Okay. What I said is, if we're expecting the BMSPC to confirm the timeline at or very near their first meeting, then you and or I and or whoever is going to have to refine the one in the adjunct document, because it has known problems in it. It is not being proposed as the one to be rubber stamped. It's something I put together, and as I did, identified some problems. So there's no problem. There's
that.
No problem doing that. But if that's the target, then that work must be done over the next month.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Excellent.
I think the I think the chairs of the two groups need to talk about.
And I'm sorry that I've had to jump in on conversation, so I just want to apologize to people.
You're both speaking simultaneously, so I didn't catch you. go on, Cheryl, please.
I just think that's very poignant, because what I was doing was apologising because I thought you were finishing up the meeting, that I have not been able to get back into the Adobe Connect room for at least the last half hour, if not more. It keeps dropping me out anyway, and I apologise if I had spoken over anyone. That's all.
That's okay, Cheryl. Thank you. Alan, you still have your hand up?
Yes, I do. Just a reminder that the decisions and selection of chairs, if the ALEC is going to do both, that has to be done essentially in advance of the decision point, so these groups can kick off as soon as possible.
The decision on what chair, sorry?
The decision on who the BCE's chair is to be, and the decision on whether the ALEC will appoint a chair, which is my recommendation for the BMSBC, and if so, whom?
Well, I think that I will probably end up as the chair of the BCEC.
Okay.
Yes.
You could chair
that,
Mr. Chair.
I second your proposal.
Mm.
And I don't know what that means with regards to my vote later on, whether I then need to give my vote to someone else.
That's exactly what
thing.
It means. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, Cheryl, you were chair and didn't give your vote away, did you?
I took a directed vote.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Which is a different thing.
It's the only time I've ever taken a directed vote.
But this time, ALEC members are not allowed to take a directed
that
vote.
That is correct. So in this case, he would have to use a delegate.
And get someone else. Okay. Well, look, everyone, the time is really, the clock is ticking. We've been at this call for 2.5 hours now. So I think that we've pretty much reached full circle. I thank you all for this very long length of time. I'm sure we could go on for another 30 minutes, but I sense that several people are actually completely brain dead or fried or need to go somehow, yes. So, in fact, I need to go, and I needed to go for a while, but there you go. So thanks to all of you for having been on this call. Thanks very much to staff, and we've got a fair bit of things to move forward with. Was there anything else?
Bye-bye.
Nope.
No,
hearing no one shout out. Hearing no one shout out, thanks very much, and have a very good rest of the day, the night, or the morning. This call is now adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.